the heart of quarantine here in three respective places where we live. It's Podzilla 1985's Podzilla After Dark here on the Redundant Network. My name is Shannon Young.
The Redundant Network?
I got sad halfway through that because I was going to say, you know, Podzilla 1985 again. It's like the third time. How many times can you say Podzilla in one show? You know, we're going to set a record. Three. With me tonight, we got the co-owner, Big Shot, Mr. Big Shot, of Podzilla 1985. Jesse Kimball's here with us.
Mr. Big Shot.
Mr. Big, that's your name now, Mr. Big.
Mr. Big is pleased.
And then we got Lindsey Wolfgang.
Hello.
Not pictured here tonight, Tanner Calvert, who couldn't make it. He was going to be on, but family issues at the last minute drew him away from us. Also not pictured, Dalton Anthony, because we didn't invite him. So, with that out of the way, let's get to new business. Does anybody
say new business or nude business?
Hey, how do you feel? You feel froggy?
No.
If you feel froggy, just hump.
What?
It's after dark. We get loose here. No, it's hump because it's after dark.
Okay.
So, motherfucker of the week. Let's jump right into it. It's Jesse Kimball. It's Jesse Kimball for being so handsome. You can tell nights where we don't have anything to talk about because we compliment each other. It's very unusual.
That is very unusual.
I wanted to say Betsy DeVos is the motherfucker of the week, but I don't know why. I just have a feeling.
I mean, it's probably fair, honestly.
A gut feeling that she is. Maybe Goya. Could Goya be motherfucker of the week? Can a company be a motherfucker?
I would assume.
Literally no one knows what I'm talking about right now.
I don't. I'm sorry.
I'm kind of distracted. I'm grabbing musicals.
I don't have you at my place on a daily basis playing stuff.
News.
News. Yes, news. See, I'm getting dumber by the day.
Well, Goya, I think it's pronounced Goya. I may be wrong. Is a some kind of, I don't know, they make food,
the
I
bean?
Guess. Yeah, the bean people. And you know, Jesse, you know me. I'm thinking about those beans almost constantly.
Yeah, all the time.
But not Goya. But apparently the guy, the president of Goya or whatever, tweeted out support for Donald Trump, and now they're trying to cancel Goya. So, of course, President Trump took a picture in the White House with, like, multiple cans of Goya in front of him to show support, I guess, for a bean company. When the world is literally falling apart and America is dying at an accelerated rate, but this is what he spends his time on?
Of course.
Oh, man, it gets harder and harder to wake up in the morning. Though the problem is I keep waking up. That's the problem. Locally, they canceled the CMO District Fair, so there's that.
Yep, and a whole bunch of people in town are real upset about it.
I mean, I'm not surprised.
Meanwhile, he hit the nail on the head when he was like, so I decided to look through the comments. And then he summed it up in a GIF, and it was just this animated baby crying very hard. that pretty much.
My freedoms.
Their freedoms have been infringed upon.
Oh, and in other news, Nick Cannon said some anti-Semitic remarks, and now he's in trouble. It's been a week. It's been a week, and there's a big debate, and this might get too serious. But why not? You know, Thursday, we're known for two things on Thursday. Three things. Cussing, talking about pornography, and and getting serious with serious topics. So there's a debate going on right now, Jesse. Let me get your thoughts on this. First off, did you hear about what Nick Cannon said?
No, I didn't.
I did not either.
I'd have to send you the full transcript, but there's a lot of people that are saying that basically what he said is that white people are evil and are animalistic and not good things about white people and about Jewish people. Pretty offensive stuff. And Viacom CBS has already dropped Nick Cannon. They had a working relationship with him. I think they're the ones that do... Is it America's Got Talent that he hosts?
Something like that. It's one of those talent shows.
I think he worked with them through that. They've dropped him completely because they said they will not tolerate anti-Semitic remarks. And if you listen to the internet, white people all across America are upset. And there are a lot of black celebrities in the black community that are in support of him. Which, begs the question, and this is where it gets kind of serious, is should Nick Cannon get a free pass because he is black on saying dumb shit? Because it's one of those things.
Why would he?
Because he kind of is. The black
community. Yeah, I mean, like, yeah, he's black, but that doesn't, like, that doesn't excuse, you know, the super anti-Semitic shit. Like, that's,
well,
that's still not okay.
One of the arguments that I saw, I was reading, I think it was on The Root, and they were talking about how, yes, what he said was anti-Semitic and it was offensive, but then they brought up white supremacy and how what he said is not worse than white supremacy, and it's...
The answer is it's all bad.
Right. Both can be bad. Like, yeah, white supremacy is awful. Like, racism is awful. And I mean, anti-Semitism is in that category.
I agree with you. I think what he said was pretty bad, and
I still don't know what he said.
Let me see if I can get some exact quotes here for you to give you some. You guys talk amongst yourselves real quick while I look up Nick Cannon, which, by the way, is the only time I've ever looked up Nick Cannon on my computer ever.
So it's gonna be around there. So Lindsay,
yeah,
I have watched many more musicals than I thought.
Okay, I'm guessing you've been running down a list of
yes,
what you have seen.
Granted, it's a lot of Disney.
I mean, they're technically musicals.
Right. So, okay, yeah, so now the hard part, though, is trying to think of, like, favorite songs from them.
Yeah. So, yeah, no, that's always the hard part.
There's a lot of them that's real good.
It looks like he is keeping his job as the host of Masked Singer, but he was fired from his improv show Wild and Out, which apparently is a popular show. I've never seen it.
Oh.
Never heard of it.
I've only heard of it because I think Dalton sent me a video of Snoop Dogg roasting Nick Cannon and Lil Dicky roasting Nick Cannon on that show.
So this is from CNN. Let me see what we got here. Viacom CBS ended a decades-long relationship with Nick Cannon this week after Cannon was joined by controversial hip-hop figure Professor Griff on a recent episode of the Cannon's Glass podcast, where talk turned to black people as the, quote, true Hebrews and included anti-Semitic conspiracy theories. In 1989, Griff was briefly kicked out of the rap group Public Enemy after he made anti-Semitic comments, but later rejoined the group as its supreme ally chief of community relations. During his appearance on Cannon's podcast, Griff doubled down on his past comments and said he was hated now because he told the truth. Cannon said that Griff was speaking facts and amplified Griff's views that Jewish people control the media, likening it to the power of the Rothschild family, banking scions who have long been targets of anti-Semitic conspiracy theories. The Masked Singer host also disputed that such views were anti-Semitic because saying black people are the true Hebrews. He said, it's never hate speech. You can't be anti-Semitic when we are the Semitic people, when we are the same people who they want to be. That's our birthright. We are the true Hebrews. And it goes on and on from there. Like, it gets worse. Like, there's a part where he was talking about, I wish I could find the exact quote, where he's talking about Jewish people or white people in general being animalistic and evil by nature. But it's,
what the fuck?
It's pretty bad. It's pretty bad. But there's a lot of people who are supporting him because he is African-American, and African-Americans have a tough time in America. I get that, but I don't know, man. And I also feel like I can't talk about it. Like, I almost feel like I shouldn't talk about it since I am white and I'm not Jewish, that maybe I should stay out of this one. But no. It's never been in my nature to stay out of the fight.
Yeah, because it is one of those things, like, we're not on either side of this. So it's difficult for us to really weigh in, but at the same time, like, I still feel like it's okay for us to voice our opinion on it. Like, yeah, I think it's wrong for them to use anti-Semitic remarks. Like, why do you need to call yourself, like, the struggle of the American black man is already hard enough. It's fine by itself. You don't really need to call yourself Hebrew. Like, I don't get it, I guess. I really don't understand.
So, apparently, Nick Cannon has already apologized, writing, first and foremost, I extend my deepest and most sincere apologies to my Jewish sisters and brothers for the hurtful and divisive words that came out of my mouth during my interview with Richard Griffin. They reinforce the worst stereotypes of a proud and magnificent people, and I feel ashamed of the uninformed and naive place that these words came from. The video of this interview has since been removed. While the Jewish experience encompasses more than 5,000 years, and there is so much I have yet to learn, I've had at least a minor history lesson over the past few days, and to say that it is eye-opening would be a vast understatement. I want to express my gratitude to the rabbis, community leaders, and institutions who reached out to me to help enlighten me instead of chastising me. I want to assure my Jewish friends, new and old, that this is only the beginning of my education. I am committed to deeper connections, more profound learning, and strengthening the bond between our two cultures today and every day going forward. It's a good apology. But the era of cancel culture, not a lot of people get second chances. It's very easy to have something that you said 10 years ago come back and haunt you and ruin your career, much less something you said a couple days ago.
Yeah, so, you ain't wrong.
So I wonder where he's going to stick the landing on this, but I don't know.
I mean, I'm glad he apologized, but...
I am too. There's a lot of people that double down on that shit.
Right. You know?
But there's always that part of me that wonders, like, is this any better? Or you remember Mel Gibson, when he got in all that trouble for talking about Jewish people?
Yes.
Is this better or worse than that?
Well, wasn't he, like, outright... Because my understanding is that Nick Cannon wasn't insulting the Jews. He was just saying that their plight hasn't been as bad as black people's? Because I'm still real confused.
Same.
You're confused about what exactly he was trying to say.
Yes, exactly. Versus, like, Mel Gibson stuff is just outright Jew hate.
So, correct me if I'm wrong, and I know somebody will. What Mel Gibson said was, it was just, you know, again, correct me if I'm wrong. It was one time when he was drunk, he got pulled over by police officers, and he used Jewish anti-Semitic slurs at the police officer, if I remember correctly. Like, that was literally the only time.
I don't remember any of it. Like, I know it happened, but I don't remember any of the details.
Well, if I remember correctly, he asked the officer, "Are you a Jew?" And then said, "The Jews are responsible for all the wars in the world."
That's ringing a bell.
Sounds pretty bad when you say it out loud like that. I'm still trying to find out the exact thing that he said. Okay, so. This is from TMZ, and as you know, TMZ checks and rechecks the facts. The Masked Singer host has been accused of spewing anti-Semitism on his podcast, Cannon's Glass, but now it's this brief clip from his June 30th episode with Professor Griff, formerly a Public Enemy, that has people riled up. Nick said that the power I'm going to mispronounce this word, Jesse, because I've never said it before, so you tell me how to say it. M-E-L-A-N-I-N. Melanin? Melanin? Melanin.
Melanin?
Yeah. Or lack thereof. Made white people, quote, a little less than darker skinned people, and claims this deficiency leads to fear. He was speaking anthropologically, meaning the very first white people in modern day Europe, but went on to say that white people's fear made them lack compassion and ultimately become evil. Nick then referred to these white people of the past as savages, barbaric, and added, they're the ones that are actually closer to animals, they're the ones that are actually the true savages. So, is that better or worse than the Jews are responsible for all the wars in the world?
Different.
Equally, but... And you know what? I was about to say, so should Nick Cannon be canceled like Mel Gibson was canceled? I don't think Mel Gibson was ever canceled, was he?
No, he wasn't.
I'm pretty sure he weathered the storm, and even though he still has, you know, people that bring that up all the time, I don't think that is what gave him a lack of work in Hollywood. It's probably the fact that he's older, and you know what happens to older people whenever they used to be action stars. Unless you're Arnold Schwarzenegger, it just ain't gonna happen. Or Jackie Chan. Or Jackie Chan, to be fair.
Well, because also, in fairness, I mean, if you look at Arnie, he still looks great in all those movies.
He does.
Same thing with Sylvester Stallone.
Oh, Stallone's timeless.
He's timeless.
I don't know.
That man is still, like, I would kill to look like 60-year-old Stallone.
60? I'm pretty sure he's 70.
Yeah, I said what, man?
I would kill to look like 70-year-old Stallone. How old is he?
He is 74. Slide. Yeah,
74.
No, I'd be fine with 74-year-old Stallone. He's starting to look a little.
Still better than I'll ever look. You're right. good call.
I mean,
yeah.
I don't know that he's a particularly handsome man anymore. Was he
ever a particularly handsome man?
I think he was pretty handsome when he was, like, in the Rocky movies.
No.
Shelby's giving me a shrug.
Yeah, I'm gonna
agree with her. I'm pulling up a picture of it here.
I'm gonna have to agree with her on this one. He always just looked like a big dumb idiot to me.
A little bit. Yeah. He had that meathead look to him.
Yeah, he definitely has the meathead look to him. Now, to be fair, he got his start in porn. Little known fact.
Really?
His first movie was, I think, called The Italian Stallion. It was a pornography. Or no. They renamed it The Italian Stallion. Let me look it up real quick. Sylvester Stallone porn. And now that's in my Google. The Party at Kitty and Studs, later called The Italian Stallion.
Huh.
So if you are out there thinking, yeah, I also think Sylvester Stallone's hot, go look that movie up. Get your rocks off. Courtesy of Podzilla 1985. Let's move on from Nick Cannon and these controversial statements, because I can literally feel the show dying. And let's go on to, speaking of death, let's talk about death waivers.
Oh, jeez. Jesse, did you hear about this?
About the death waivers that parents are having to sign to have their kids go to school.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I like, if you feel the need to make parents sign a waiver saying it's, you know, the school's not responsible if your child dies,
then maybe you shouldn't go back to school.
Exactly. Like, maybe it's too soon to be going back to school. Maybe you need to look into other options.
To be fair, oh, Jesus Christ. Now I've got Letterkenny.
I was about to say, did you almost do the Letterkenny bit?
To be fair, go ahead. We do have to get back to normal at some point. We do have to figure out a way to go back to school. Kids need to be educated. They need to get out of the goddamn street and get out of my store and go back to school.
I mean, a lot of places are looking into, like, Cape Central or Cape schools, the local schools, have online offerings. Like,
that's a great idea. Yeah, they should do that.
Except for the families that don't have internet or don't have access to stuff.
That's a big problem. And that's one that I believe Maria brought up when I told her about that. She said, well, there's so many people that don't have high-speed internet still. Which, again, Jesse, as you know, because you are a tech guy, it's ridiculous how many people in the United States don't have high-speed internet.
It honestly truly is. And, like, it's not something you ever really think about until, like, I mean, going back to my GameStop days, I was always floored when somebody was like, I don't have high-speed internet. And, you know, they were trying to buy games for, like, their Xbox One, or they were trying to buy an Xbox One or, like, a PlayStation 4. And then, you know, moving on to Gaming Grounds. Like, we had people would buy those systems. They would come into Gaming Grounds, rent a station for a little while to do all their updates, and go home and play. Because they don't have high-speed internet. There's so many people in this area that don't have high-speed internet. It blows me away.
And all across the United States. So I think that would almost completely wipe out the possibility of just doing online schooling.
Yeah.
And unless they use it as a way of shrinking classroom sizes.
Because CAPE is like, you have the option. And so, yeah, that's definitely what it's doing. Like, you just have, there are fewer kids that are going to actually be in the classroom. So you can social distance a little bit better. Like, it's...
Well, let me pitch at least an idea something. Let me pitch an idea at you.
Sure.
Have you ever seen the movie Battle Royale? Now, hear me out. No, I know it sounds brutal, but round these kids up, put them on a plane, tell them they're going to Disneyland, drop them off on an island with a bunch of weapons, and then just see what happens.
For the current audience, Hunger Games. You're going to Hunger Games the kids.
I feel like there's an anime along these lines, too, where there was a Japanese horror film that they did.
I mean, it's an entire genre. Something similar. They're called Death Game genre. It's the Death Game genre.
Yeah.
It's a thing.
I think if ever we had a president that would okay the use of death games, I feel like it would be Donald Trump.
Yeah, you're right.
So, you know what? These comments are going to come back to haunt me in a couple years whenever I try to run for office. So I want to walk them back now and just say that I do not advocate for children to be led to an island where they can murder each other. Honestly, there's no use in wasting taxpayers' money. Just give them weapons and let them get in the streets. Cape is filled with places that they could go hunting.
The U.S. government's definitely already done that.
And but anyway. They're sending out all these contracts that you have to sign saying that We are aware, and you are aware, that coronavirus is real, which, by the way, if you're out there listening, coronavirus is real. And if your kid contracts it here at the school, we're not responsible, even though we're the ones that are telling you that you have to come back to school. And it's a pretty shitty situation to be in.
Because, like, the phrasing in there specifically includes, even if it's from the negligence of the school.
Yeah. That they're not responsible. Yeah.
They're not responsible at all. You can't sue them or anything like that. It's just a release form. And that's insane to me. And Maria said, well, I had to sign one of those when I went to the nail salon. It's like, yeah, and I get that, but like the difference, and it's the same thing with Comic-Con, you know.
The difference is the nail salon isn't something that you have to go to. It's you voluntary. Are choosing to go there.
Right, and that's exactly what I said to her. It was voluntary. Ken tried to have, you know, people at Comic-Con sign waivers, which got dropped. But to be fair, fuck. Everyone wore masks. I never saw anyone not have a mask on. So kudos to them. I'm actually proud that everyone that came to the event kept their mask on, short of when they were eating. Clearly, you would take your mask down and you would eat, and then you put the mask back on. But when people were walking around, I never saw them without a mask. I'm very happy about that.
I could count on one hand the number of people that were walking around without them.
As far as CCW went the next night, it was a good show. But let's go back to the topic and just squeak away from there. I don't even remember what the topic was now. What was I rambling on about? Oh, the voluntary thing.
Death waiver.
Voluntary.
Death waiver.
Yeah. Yeah. But I don't have a solution. Like, we can't just hide in our houses until the vaccine is created or the virus goes away. Because clearly the virus isn't going away. It's now Perryville had their first person that was infected again. So
again?
Yeah, they've got it
reinfected.
Twice.
Jeez.
So now we know that you can be reinfected. If somebody from WWE, maybe, who was it? Asa would know, and Dalton would know. I forget, but she was also reinfected. She was infected twice. So we now know that you can be infected twice. So as long as people are being assholes, this thing's just going to keep circulating. And remember, right after the quarantine, every episode we did was basically about the coronavirus.
Yeah,
pretty much.
Now we're getting back to that, because if you're looking at the statistics, Florida is pretty much at the breaking point, which is funny because DeSantis did you see this asshole in the media? There's your motherfucker of the week. I just named him. You know what I'm talking about?
No, I do not.
It's DeSantis, the governor of Florida. Yeah. Florida governor, Ron DeSantis. He went on TV months ago and was, I think he was with Mike Pence, and he was literally chastising the media, saying, you all said we were going to be worse than New York, that we were going to hit these levels. You said it was going to happen within like 8 weeks or 10 weeks, and we're halfway through there and it's not happened. He was basically saying, you people, the media, are spreading lies, you're spreading fear, you're fear-mongers, and Florida's doing such a great job, and now Florida is in the fucking toilet. They are worse than any other state in the United States right now. And Ron DeSantis, the motherfucker of the week, running his mouth so proud of himself as a Trump supporter and pushing this agenda of this isn't a big deal. And now your state is fucked. You asshole. I almost want to say good, like you deserve this, but you're not the one suffering. Your people are suffering and Americans are suffering, so I'm not going to do that. But what a dick.
Yeah, he's a dick.
That's all I got to say about it, Jesse. I'm trying here.
I don't. I just don't know how to participate, my friend. I really don't.
You're the one I go to talk about the news with.
I know, but I'm just. Like...
She is basically brain dead.
Oh no!
Thanks.
That's so rude. Well, like honestly, at this point, there's not really much to discuss. Like I can agree with you angrily.
We can hammer it home again and again. That everything is stupid.
Coronavirus is real. Wear a mask. Like, did I send you the liberal redneck video about wearing masks?
No.
I need everybody to look that up. It's pretty spectacular. But like he talks about like one of my favorite bit from it. He talks about how to get your conservative friends to wear masks, and he starts pulling up. I think the line was. And which one of y'all don't like horrific bumper stickers? And what is a mask but a bumper sticker for your face?
For your face.
And then he starts holding up all these masks. He's like, now you can own the libs without ever having to open your mouth. it's just massive to say, like, snowflake free zone and stuff like that, and, like, fuck COVID, etc., etc. And he's like, don't even call him mask if you don't want to. Call him fuck you flaps. I don't care. Just wear a fucking mask.
You know who's really making who's doing well in the coronavirus era?
Who's
Mandy.
That?
Because I bought like 6 masks from her at the con.
I also bought a mask from Mandy. It is too small for my massive head.
Yeah, so were mine. Maria fixed them up for me a little bit. She made them a little too loose, but whatever. So the funny part about that is, yeah, I truly believe I bought 5 or 6 masks from it. Maria bought a couple masks. Lindsay, you bought a mask from Mandy too, didn't you?
Yep, she made me a Black Clover one.
Yeah. Maria even bought, she got her dogs some kind of like, what were they?
She bought bandanas for her dogs.
She bought matching bandanas for her dogs to match the mask she had. Oh my God. She's probably listening to this. It was adorable.
You know,
in quotations.
Mandy was super excited about the dog mask idea.
Yeah, well, she definitely got a fan from Maria. She loves them. And her dog begrudgingly wore it and looked cute, admittedly. The funny part about it is, did you hear what happened to me on Saturday?
Your mask got broken?
Well, yes, but they also, like, they beat the shit out of me. They broke my leg, put a real beating on me, did the thing where they put the chair on my leg, and then Billy Hills, God bless his soul, hit my leg with Georgia, which is just a giant trunk, a tree trunk. And people have asked me, because I went back and watched the footage, and they were like, man, how did you do that? It looked like that really hurt. How did you do it? And I'm like, oh, I didn't fake it. It really hurt. He hit my leg with a fucking tree trunk. It just hurts. So the next day, I didn't want to go to the convention because I didn't want to be walking around after I got my ass kicked, you know, the kayfabe and whatnot.
Right.
So, but I was like, all right, well, I'm in plain clothes. I'm in a hoodie. I'll have the mask on. Maybe people won't really recognize me. Except I forgot Mandy customized my mask, so I didn't realize I'm walking around with a mask that literally says Mr. 100 on it. I might as well have had a giant jackass over me, you know?
Oh. Break all the kayfabe.
But it was a fun time. You know, I know Lindsay and I are the only ones that went to the Comic-Con. I know there's a lot of controversy about it. I'm not going to get into the controversy. I'm not going to point fingers or play the blame game or anything like that. But for what it was a fun time. It was as safe as I think they could have made it, as they chose to make it.
There you go.
Yeah. And the people that came seemed pretty respectful of it. So,
I think the
only person that wasn't wearing a mask was Austin St. John.
Oh yeah, it does not surprise me that dude's big time like COVID denier.
The guests. Really?
Oh yeah.
Go ahead, Lindsay. I'm sorry.
I mean, the guests, with as much as they were talking with everyone, yeah, I get, but there was a small handful of attendees that, like, they had their masks around their neck, and, like, every once in a while I would see them up, but most of the time I saw them walking around with it down, and
I think my...
But, like, 98% of the people there had it on, were being respectful of people and stuff that way.
I think my favorite part of it was CCW had a couple guests there. We had Darby Allin, we had Priscilla Kelly, and we had Sammy Guevara.
I thought Darby Allin was a cosplayer.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. So we're at the show on Saturday, and Darby Allin comes out, and he saves Ken from the King's Court. And Lindsay's like, oh, is he a wrestler? I'm like, yeah, that's Darby Allin. She's like, I saw him walking around the convention. I thought he was just a cosplayer.
That's because I passed him when I was going to the bathroom, and he just looked like some cosplayer.
Yeah, because he like paints half his face, and yeah.
He was like wearing mesh and like leather pants and stuff. So.
And he's a little guy. He's a little guy. And Maria knew Priscilla Kelly not from wrestling, but from some reality show about gypsies, which none of us knew. Anyway, it was a whole thing. It was a fun time. And Lindsay did well, which is always important. Yes. Mandy did well, I think. Everyone did well.
It was a good weekend.
And no one got COVID at all. Let's move on.
Yeah.
I think I've stalled enough. Lindsay, what's the topic for tonight?
Tonight, we are going to talk about our top 5 favorite musicals.
Wrong.
And our favorite song from each.
Wrong.
No?
The new topic is our 5 favorite porn stars and our favorite movie that they've done. We got to get the audience back into this. I'll go first. Number one, Tara Patrick.
I don't know any porn stars.
I know April O'Neil. That's the only one I can think of off the top of my head.
All right, I know we have people that are listening or that are sitting
Carmen
in
Electra,
with rooms.
She's, she is a porn star, right?
No. Carmen Electra is a fucking actress.
Is she?
Yes.
I thought she did porn.
No.
I mean, doesn't that sound like a porn actress name, though? Carmen Electra?
You want to know something weird, now that you mentioned that? And don't ask me why I know so many little details about these people. So there's a porn star, one of the most famous porn stars in the world in history. Her name is Tara Patrick. You've heard of Tara Patrick?
Yeah.
Yes.
Carmen Electra's real name is Tara Patrick.
Really?
Yeah.
That's kind of funny. So she has the same name as a porn star, so to get away from that, she gives herself a porn star name.
That makes sense. I think she's older than the porn star. Let me look up porn star Carmen Electra. She's 48 and Tara Patrick is... Oh, mouse, you're killing me. I can't even... Oh, you're killing me.
Is it a wireless mouse? Like, do you need new batteries? Like,
It charges itself. I have one of those mouse pads that charges. It's pretty sweet. I spent a lot of money on it. Tara Patrick is 43. So, the porn star is younger than the actress. And the actress changed her name to a porn star's... The actress changed her name to a porn star-sounding name. Meanwhile, the porn star has the actual name that the actress had. Let's just move on. Lindsay, you were saying something about porn...
No, I wasn't. You're the one who turns everything into porn.
The internet is for porn.
You're not wrong.
What you said sounded so wrong. You turn everything into porn. Damn right.
Sam just brings a boombox with him wherever he goes.
And it plays the same song, and it's the NWO theme.
Sheesh.
All right, let's do musicals.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Okay.
Let's
do it.
Lindsay, you go first because I got to type shit out.
Oh, you're going to actually make me go first for once?
Yeah, because I don't have anything written down, so.
You never met me. Okay.
Okay, Jesse. We'll make Jesse go first. He's
Jesse
the one that's been studying tonight.
That's fine. I can go first. All right, so the first thing I'm going to do is steal one of Shannon's before he can steal it from me.
Don't do that. I have a very limited capacity on this one. Don't take it.
Yeah, me
That's
too.
That's why I was going to let you guys go first, yeah. Because I'll work around
so
them.
So I'm taking it right now. Sweeney Todd, the Demon Barber of Fleet Street.
You know, he wasn't actually on my list.
What?
There's only one song on that entire musical that I truly liked.
Is it Pretty Women?
Okay, two songs. You got me on that.
Because Pretty Women is my favorite song from that.
Pretty Women is really good, but I also liked Epiphany.
Epiphany's
good. My personal favorite from it is Little Priest, but where they talk about killing everyone.
I also like the Magical Elixir.
Oh, with Petrelli or whatever his name was?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sacha Baron Cohen, which my favorite part of that movie was actually Sacha Baron Cohen. And that's back when everyone kind of hated him because he did Bruno, and I guess nobody forgave him for it. And everyone thought he was just a one-trick pony where he would just go in and fuck with people. But I thought his performance as...
He was so good.
He was really, really good. And to hear his, like, natural British accent was pretty neat.
Yeah, no. I think he did great in that movie. I really, really it's one of my favorite musicals of all time. I really like Sweeney Todd.
I like Sweeney Todd, but I wouldn't go as far as say it's my favorite of all time. No, it's not in my top five.
I enjoy it. I need to look up one of the original stage performances because I kind of want to see Angela Lansbury in it.
She's no Helena Bonham Carter. That's all I'll say.
She's not, but I still want to see that performance.
Also, all right, Lindsay, you go next.
Huh?
Alan Rickman.
Well, yeah, he was in
it.
He
was. I love Alan Rickman.
I miss him. Rest in peace.
Yeah.
All right. I am going to start mine off with Wicked, because I know neither of you are going to pick it.
Accurate.
And my favorite song from it is What Is This Feeling? And it's basically where Glinda and Elisabetta are arguing with each other because they just discovered they've become roommates. And it's just another wonderful musical argument, which I love.
Huh.
The first chorus in it is loathing, unadulterated loathing.
That does sound right up our alley. I've got my first one, and I'm not going to go to it yet because I still want to talk about yours, but my first one's going to blow your socks off. Are you guys wearing socks?
I am actually wearing socks.
Okay, well, get ready because they're going to be blown off because you're going to go, what?
What?
You said Wicked, right?
Yes.
I don't know why I thought you said Into the Woods, but...
That's... you'll see. I said Wicked first.
Because that's also on your list. The only thing I know about Wicked is it's a... is it a prequel to...
Wizard of Oz?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, it's basically the Wicked Witch of the West story.
That's what we need in life is more prequels. Why haven't they made a movie about it yet?
I don't know. Because instead they focused on the wizard rather than her.
They did make that stupid movie, didn't they?
Yes, they did.
Oh, I forgot about that. What was that called? It had James Franco.
The Great and Powerful Oz?
Oh, was that what it was? Yeah.
But yeah, all I really remember is Franco was in it, and it wasn't that great.
Oz the Great and Powerful.
Yeah. Yes. I actually enjoyed that movie.
That movie made such an impact on me, I didn't even remember it existed.
No, I like that movie.
Huh. Is it a musical?
No, it's not.
Hmm. Okay, well, my first pick...
Yes.
...is the H.S. Pinafore. He is an
Englishman. The what?
Exactly.
Is that the... No, that's a different one.
He is an Englishman. He remains... You guys don't remember this?
No.
I mean, I know it. It's just not...
No, I have
the
no
one
idea
that stands out to
about.
Me is the, damn it, what's the
For
title of it?
For he himself has said it. Really, nobody, okay,
oh,
so
no,
the only reason.
That,
yeah.
That tune actually sounded really
From
familiar.
The Simpsons.
Yeah, the only reason I knew about it originally was, you remember the episode in The Simpsons where Sideshow Bob kidnapped the family and they were on the boat and he drugged, or they were tied up as the Cape Fear, the same one where he steps on the rakes and it hits him in the face over and over again?
Yeah.
Yep.
To distract him, Bart asks, would you sing the entire score from the HMS Pinafore? Yep. And he does. And the final song is He is an Englishman. And I loved it so much that I actually looked up the actual Broadway, or the, not Broadway, but the actual musical. And I legitimately like it. It's a cute
musical. I'm looking
musical.
Up the title of the one that I like.
But do yourself a favor and go listen to He is an Englishman. It's a good song. And I think Sideshow Bob, a.k.a. Kelsey Grammer, did the best version
of it.
He
does an amazing job. Yeah,
yeah,
right? Because
he's Kelsey Grammer.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that whole thing was just an excuse to get him to sing.
Oh, I really didn't save it. Darn it.
And all he took me to heaven is what he did. So now that I've confused everybody, Jesse, what's number two for you?
You haven't confused everybody.
Yeah, no.
Shannon
like,
used confusion. It's highly effective.
Once you got to Simpsons, I was there.
All right. Well, yeah. Every time.
Yep. All right. I'm going to go for my next one. I'm going to do Aladdin. Friend Like
okay.
Me.
Okay.
Well, you know what?
It is a good song.
If I had thought about that, I could have made this list a lot easier. I didn't think about Disney.
I was actually
Son
talking to
bitch.
Lindsay about that while you were rebooting your computer.
Oh, you bastards.
I'm sorry. I mean, they are technically musicals.
Damn right they are. Bunch of
I
bastards.
Really like Arabian Nights from it. That's always been one of
Arabian
my favorites.
Arabian Nights is real good.
Unpopular opinion, and I'll stand by it to the day that I die. The new live-action version of Aladdin is better than the animated series and has better music, so sue me.
I don't know if I would say it was better, both. But I enjoy both a lot. Like, I was giddy watching Aladdin in the theaters. I really, 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 really liked it.
I liked it, except for the fact that we were stuck next to a kid who kept wandering and, like, being loud. That drove me insane. Mm. But otherwise, I really like it. And I want to watch it again, but I just haven't got around to it yet. But I will at some point. Anyway, Lindsay, what do you got next?
I just
got
to boot up Disney Plus. It's on there.
Bitch, I got the 4K. Bitch, I got it in 4K. It's
I know.
Sitting on my shelf right now. Steelbook, straight cash.
Yeah, I know. I'm aware.
Dalton, if you listen to this, I want to tell you one thing real quick. Steve, I don't want any of his testicles in my sandwich.
All right, go ahead. Whenever you do that, okay. Discord makes it break up, just so you're aware.
Yeah, like we caught very little of what you said.
Don't worry, Dalton will hear it. That's the important thing.
That's fine. So since you already mentioned it before, I'll go with Into the Woods, because I am obsessed with it, and I listen to that soundtrack on a weekly basis. And despite the fact that it is ridiculously long, my favorite is the prologue, Into the Wood, where they basically throw the whole story together.
Now, have you ever actually seen the musical, or are you just going off the movie?
I've only ever seen the movie, as far as that goes, but I still really like it.
And you have seen musicals, though. You went to you actually went to Broadway,
yes,
didn't you?
Yes. Yeah, I saw Phantom of the Opera on stage. I've seen Crazy for You, My Fair Lady. Gosh, I don't even remember all of them. Those are the big ones, but...
Jesse, have you ever been to Broadway?
No, I have been to the Fox. That's it.
Well, I've never even been there, but I did act in a couple plays anyway.
I was in set crew in a couple plays.
I think I've told this story before, and it's apropos because Lindsay, when I was down at her place, she has the VHS of me in the college production of Little Shop of Horrors. And what's funny about that, and I think I've told this story on the air before, is at the time I was dating this girl, her name was Vina, and the only reason I was in the play at all was because I was trying to impress her. She auditioned for it, and I went with her to the audition. So I thought, okay, I will also audition because she seems to be into this, and I really like her. So I auditioned, and I got the part. If you've seen the movie, I had two parts. Well, actually three. I was the understudy for the plant, but I quit because that suit was hot, and I wasn't going to do it. I was also... the John Candy role of the radio announcer, and then the other role I had was of just a random guy with his wife looking at flowers. The wife was played by Vina. That was great. We were dating. This works. Except for right before we went on the air, she broke up with me, and now I had to act as her husband after she just broke up with me. So I think you can actually see my heart breaking in the video.
Go full Ralph Wiggum on it.
Yeah, you can actually see the part where my heart shattered in half. We'll watch it sometime. It'll be a lot of fun. No, it won't. It was terrible. My next one, because I started getting obsessed with this lately, and I count it as a musical. I don't know if it's called American Idiot the Musical or Broadway Idiot. Either way, it's the Broadway adaptation of the American Idiot album.
It's just American Idiot.
And my favorite song from that is still my favorite song from the album, We Are the Waiting.
I like the their mix up of Last of the American Girls and She's a Rebel.
I like the entire soundtrack. If you haven't done it yet, look it up on Spotify. So good. It's incredible. It's so good. I actually like it better than the original album. If you're a fan of Green Day, it's
a
good story.
I like that original album a lot.
Oh, you'll love the musical. It is amazing. It is absolutely amazing. So many of the songs are really good. It's a three-part story between, well, I'm not going to get into the exacts of it, but there's three characters you follow as they kind of go through life, and the songs all pertain to them in one way or the other. It's really, really good. And We Are the Waiting is my favorite song from the album. It's also my favorite song from the musical, with the second one probably being Favorite Son is also incredible. It's so good. Jesse, go listen to it. And also, Jesse, what do you got next?
Oh, I don't know. Let's see, which ones have I done so far? I've done Aladdin and Sweeney
Todd,
them. Right? Okay.
Yeah.
Because I'm doing it kind of out of order on what I have on this notepad here. And I actually have more than five, so I was hoping somebody would take one so that it would narrow down my list a little bit.
I can guarantee you there's no one that has the same answer on this one.
Possibly.
I got a feeling.
All right, my next one.
Well, I mean, I had...
I'm going to go with La La Land.
I've actually not watched that one yet.
Me neither.
I watched it because I've always had a bit of a crush on Emma Stone.
Me too.
And City of Stars is the song I like. It's really, really good. Like, I really, really enjoyed that movie. And I highly recommend it.
Ryan Gosling's in that too, right?
Yes, he is.
I mean, I've heard nothing but good things about it.
You just sold me.
It's
on Ryan Gosling.
Yeah, I mean, it's Ryan Gosling and Emma Stone. Like, it's great.
Lens, what about you? What do you got?
My next one is one of my longtime favorites, Hello Dolly.
Hello.
Which mom introduced me to the Streisand film first, but we actually did go to a theater in the park version of it back home also. There's a lot of songs I like in this one, but I'm probably going to have to go with So Long, Dearie at the end of it when she's pretending to basically tell Horace, screw you, I'm going to do my own thing. But in reality, she's just doing reverse psychology on him.
I've never seen it, so I have no idea what you're talking about.
Same.
Oh, you've had it on. You've been in the room when I've had it on, but you don't pay attention.
Yeah,
so.
Say good luck with that one. Well, my next one is one that we can all enjoy, and it's from Phantom of the Opera. Lindsay, can you guess which one I picked from Phantom of the Opera?
Being you.
And by the way, we're talking about the movie Phantom of the Opera. I've seen one live adaptation that was filmed, and I honestly don't like, and I know I'm going to get crucified by purists, I don't like it as much as the movie. I like the movie version.
They're both good. I had an amazing theater experience. I had front row dead center seats when we went and saw it in Toronto, and it was amazing.
Yeah, but you know what it didn't have? Two things. Emmy Rossum or Gerard Butler.
Yeah, and Emmy Rossum never closed her damn mouth in the whole movie, yeah. And that annoyed the shit out of me.
Emmy Rossum doesn't have to close her mouth, you little whore, because Emmy Rossum is perfect.
God damn.
Anyways, knowing you, easy. You have either picked Music of the Night or All I Ask of You.
Wrong. It's Don Juan.
Really?
Yeah, I love that song.
I mean, that's a good one. My favorite is Notes because I love musical arguments. So.
But I think Don Juan actually goes into another song that I like. Because I think it's one goes into the other.
Yeah, it does. Down Once More, is that what it goes into, maybe?
It might be. It's basically that whole back end of it. Yeah. The whole thing's great, though. But yeah, I really like the evilness.
The climax of everything.
The deceptiveness of Don Juan. I just really like it.
It is a good one.
Jesse.
Well, hello.
Is now running out of answers.
All right, for my next one.
He is now consulting Shelby, saying, hey, you've seen musicals, right?
No, I told you I had trouble like narrowing it down. I've got 7 here that I really like, and I stopped there.
Your conscience.
I mean, I've got like 15 of them written on my notepad, and I mean, all of the ones Shannon's has said have been, well, other than his first one, have been on mine.
I have 5 written, and you're lucky to get it.
That's, yeah.
Because I didn't know we could pick Disney.
Adding them
now.
You
can amend your list and add to it.
No, it's fine. Go ahead.
All right, my next one's going to be Moana. We know the way.
You know the way?
Thank you. I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
We don't do false queens.
I'm not going to lie, Jesse. I don't remember which song that is.
Because
I've only ever watched Moana like twice.
And I only remember the rock song. That's it.
Exactly. You're welcome.
Yeah. That whole soundtrack is fire. But no, We Know the Way is the one where they're like, they're all sailing like to a different island after everything is cool.
Okay.
I
like that song a lot. It's just really good.
Mandy's on your side, that's for sure.
Just saying Moana, Mandy's real happy.
I think one of the happiest times of my life was when Mandy called me Maui.
Mandy called you Maui. Yeah.
And she was my Moana. I don't even have that necklace anymore. I don't know where it's at. But that's,
you broke it.
That's fine, because I remember now Mandy didn't actually give it to me.
She did not.
Nope.
That's fine. She did give me this sweet-ass Gremlins thing, though. Anyway, Lindsay.
Anywho's. I'm going to go with Hairspray next, because I was obsessed with it for quite a while also. And I actually really enjoy the villain song, The Legend of Miss Baltimore Crabs, which in the movie version is Michelle Pfeiffer.
I'm sorry, did you just say Baltimore Crabs?
Yes. It's a play on the actual like beauty contest she won as a younger lady and obviously what you're thinking of as well.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Because one of the lines in it is, those poor runner-ups, shit, what was it? It's basically her saying she fucked the judges to win.
Jesus!
is what it is. But yeah, no, it's funny.
Let me see. I'm gonna look it up. Those poor...
And it's cat... And it's...
Those poor runner-ups might still hold some grudges. They padded their cups, but I screwed the judges.
Screwed the judges, yep. Yeah, and it's Michelle Pfeiffer singing it in, like, the cattiest, bitchy way possible, and it's wonderful.
You know, scientifically, I was telling Maria this, scientifically, Michelle Pfeiffer is the most beautiful woman in history.
I mean, she's awesome.
Because they did something with the face, like, the shape of her face. Like,
as far as, like, symmetricalness and stuff that way.
Yeah, she has, like, the perfect face, and if you've ever seen Batman Returns, you know they're right. My next one is probably one of the things that got me into musicals at all. It's Moulin Rouge.
Yay.
And it's the Elephant Medley.
I love that one. There's an amazing anime music video out there to it.
It's always hard for me to pick between that one and the, you know, My Gift Is My Song or whatever the actual title of it is.
Your Song. Yeah. I really like Someday I'll Fly Away. That's another one I really like from it.
Well, I mean, I also like... What was the one that the foreign guy sings when he's going crazy about the girl?
Roxanne?
Yeah.
The one that grates on me so badly, but that's part of why it's so wonderful.
Yeah, I love that song. And I love that musical. And the reason I love that musical is because it has a fucking sad ending. Fuck you, happy people. Fuck you, Jesse.
So I thought that you were going to say the reason you liked that because it was Moulin Rouge, right?
Yeah.
I figured you were going to say something about Ewan McGregor.
Ewan McGregor?
I love Ewan McGregor. I love John Leguizamo. I love Richard Roxburgh. I love Nicole Kidman. But I also love the fact that the movie literally ends with him sitting down at a typewriter to tell their story after she died. Spoiler alert. And it's just this super fucking sad ending and the curtains close and you're like, oh, it's not going to get any happier? No, it's done. She's dead.
Yeah.
She ain't coming back.
She had tuberculosis. That ain't a...
It's what you get.
I think going away.
It's what you get for falling in love. That's what you get. Anyway, it's a good movie. Jesse, last one. Last round. Hey, last round's on me, pal.
Hey, all right. All right, I'm going to finish up with a Goofy movie.
No!
Stand Out.
Stand Out.
Is it the Powerline song?
Yeah, it is.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You can't answer this for everything we do.
I mean, he's going to.
I was about to say, don't believe me, just watch.
I still stand by I like Goofy and Max's
Nobody Else But You.
Nobody Else. Yeah, I love really, that
really
song.
That's a really good song, too. That was a real pluck your heartstrings song right there.
That song is fun to belt out in the car.
Won't lie to you, did not expect it. Should have. Should have, but I didn't.
If Goofy movie is eligible for a list, it's going on there. And it's eligible for a surprising number of lists. We do.
All right, Lindsay, last one. What do you got?
My final one is Crazy for You because I have a soft spot for it. The recording version that I have was the original Broadway one with Jodie Benson playing the main female lead. And for those that don't recognize that name, she was Ariel in The Little Mermaid.
True. I knew that.
And I did not realize that it was her until I was in college re-listening to the track and I saw Jodie Benson and I'm like, wait a minute, why do I know this? And I listened closer and it really does just sound like Ariel because it's her. But my favorite song in it is What Causes That, and it's where the two main male leads are singing about why love makes them want to kill themselves.
I'm noticing a trend with me and Lindsay.
It's just such a good song. It's them just singing that, like, it makes you do stupid stuff.
Yes.
And, I like it. It's entertaining.
Well, my last one is... Okay, you can pick movies. Can you pick TV shows?
I mean, if it's a musical, sure. You can pick the episode of Buffy that was a musical.
No, because I don't remember it. I'm going to pick... if you were to say... In the grand history of TV shows that had musical episodes or had musical performances in their episodes, what is the greatest musical song in a television episode of all time? Jesse. There's only one answer.
Don't know.
Lindsay, you want to take a shot at it before
There's so many, though.
No, there's just one. That's the best.
I mean, the only one that I have, like, tracks of on my computer was from Even Stevens and their musical episode where they were singing about going to the moon.
We went to the moon in 1969.
In
1969. At 1970, but a year sooner.
Let me... All right, I'm just going to give you a hint. I'm going to give you a hint. I'm going to read some of the lyrics.
Okay.
I'm not going to sing them, but I'm going to read them.
Okay, that's fine. Dude, pull a Shatner.
My throat kind of hurts, otherwise I'd belt it out. All right.
That's okay.
Let me ask you a question. who controls the British crown? Who keeps the metric system down?
We do.
We do. It's the Stonecutter song from The Simpsons.
Yes.
And it's the right answer.
Yeah, no, that's fabulous. Really good Although song. I still very much love See My Vest.
Kill two for matching clogs.
Yes.
The Simpsons have a rich history of musical performances.
They so really do.
I did have a backup one, though, just in case, because I didn't know if this would be accepted. Once Jesse mentioned the Disney one, I thought, okay, I like Disney films, but what's a favorite musical song that I've heard in a movie that's not, like, you know, based on a musical? And the first one that came to mind was Muppet Treasure Island.
Yes, and, the very beginning.
Well, it was so hard to choose because I was going to pick the beginning, but then I started looking through the songs, and
Tim Curry's is my favorite, The Professional Pirate.
That was the other one that I was thinking.
This is my only number.
But I think I settled on Sailing for Adventure because it has everybody singing.
Lindsay,
so,
yeah.
I have to let you know that at exactly the same time you said yes, so did Shelby. I had that in stereo sound, and I only have one earbud in.
To which one? Sailing for Adventure?
No, Muppet Treasure Island.
Just Muppet Treasure Island. La, 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 la. Any of the Muppet stuff in general. Yeah,
that's true, but there's also something about Muppet Treasure Island that really just tugs on my soul.
I love it.
Wasn't it the first one that was made after Jim Henson passed away?
That was Muppet Christmas Carol.
Oh, okay.
Was first.
Okay, Muppet but this Christmas is his son Carol. That did it, right?
Yes, yeah, I'm like 90% sure that Brian directed that one.
Because I feel like after Jim died, the Muppet movies there for a while got darker. Like
a little bit, yeah.
Like not like bloody or anything like that, but like if you watch Muppet Treasure Island, especially that opening scene where the captain murders his entire crew at the end of the song, that's pretty dark.
I mean, you're taking the story of Treasure Island, so it's going to have a level of darkness to it.
Yeah, but you can take something that's originally more, you know, mature and dumb it down. That's what they base Kidz Bop off of.
Yeah, but you also have to keep in mind, even when Jim was still alive, like his other non-Muppet projects, I mean, Dark Crystal and Labyrinth were like dark as hell.
Oh, I know. No, Jim Henson was twisted. You got frogs falling in love with pigs.
Pigs.
Everybody's all jacked up over there. Jesse, what were you going to say?
I don't... Oh, the TV shows. You never watched The Orville or American Dad, did you?
I watched American Dad.
No.
American Dad has some phenomenal musical numbers in it. And The Orville has a musical episode that's just incredible.
Well, so did, to be fair, so did Family Guy.
Yeah, Family Guy.
I can remember a couple of really good songs from Family Guy, because Seth MacFarlane is a big fan of, like, show tunes.
Yeah, he really, really is. Did you guys ever watch, it was one of the other ones, that, like, I was going to put it as, I guess, at least an honorable mention. Did you guys ever watch Sing, the DreamWorks movie?
Yes, even though it used all popular music in
it. Right, yeah, no, there wasn't any original tunes to it, I don't think. But it had Seth MacFarlane in it, and he did a version of My Way that was spectacular.
Yes, the little mouse.
Then Taron Egerton was in the movie, and he did a version of I'm Still Standing that was going to be my favorite mm-hmm. from the movie that was just incredible.
Yeah, yeah. I was very doubtful of that film just because of what it was, but they did it really well. The songs they picked were good choices. As far as that goes, was it Scarlett Johansson that was the mother pig?
No.
Oh, she was the porcupine. Yeah. Okay, yeah.
Yes. I don't remember who the pig was. Was it?
Yeah, but basically the pig character did Taylor Swift's song, Shannon, so.
Oh, well, I do like that.
But yeah, it was surprisingly really good. I fully enjoyed that film way more than what I thought I would.
I'm surprised no one mentioned any songs from the movie adaptation of the popular Broadway musical Cats. Hello.
No.
Anybody hear me?
Huh?
Yeah, we hear you.
Cats, the movie adaptation starring Dame Judi Dench. Where they had to, they were going to put butts, like little buttholes on the cats.
So Reese Witherspoon was the pig, Rosita.
You guys are cock blocking me at this point.
Yes. Yes, I am.
I think that's going to wrap it up for us tonight. Unless you guys have more honorable mentions you want to mention? Because I know, Lindsay, you said you had about 50.
Well, no, I just, when you're going to the TV shows, if you go back to your original pick of the MS Pinafore, the third or fourth season ending of Reboot took one of those songs and recapped the entire season, and it has been stuck in my head all week. But the one part that just stays in my head is the, when Bob went face to face to face to face with hexadecimal, his chances of survival went from slim to incandescimal.
I remember that. I totally remember that. And I never, uh-huh. until you just said that, I never put the two together. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that song has been in my head all week.
That's insane. I didn't know that play, that musical was so big. But yeah, apparently it's a pretty big huge deal.
And then I forget which movie I was watching. There was another movie a while back that it was two best friends. One was like super rich, and they're not so much, but he was living with him, and they would like stop and sing that song like as quickly as they could without messing up the lyrics.
I'm not sure, but I feel like this could have been a Corey Feldman, Corey Haim film.
No, I don't think so.
Okay, well, I tried. All right, I just wanted to mention Corey Feldman on the show because he doesn't get enough love. That's gonna do it for us here tonight on the show. We're going to get out of here. We are going to be back tomorrow, though, with an all-new Friday show, whatever it's called. Hunter knows. That's what's important.
It's Friday.
No, stop.
But you'll say it's Saturday.
Stop. And we don't know what the code open will be. I don't know. Hopefully we won't let Tanner pick this time, because Jesse, I don't know if you listened to the opening to last Friday's show.
Tanner, I finally did.
Tanner picked the open. We did a skit from SNL. We did Celebrity Jeopardy. Tanner's pick. Tanner also picked to play Alex Trebek. And then he gave the most unenthusiastic Alex Trebek you've ever heard.
He just read it as himself, basically, which in a way made it hilarious.
It did. I think he got nervous because Hunter and I wanted to do a Principal Fry skit. Jesse, do you know Principal Fry?
Not off the top of my head, no.
It's the one with Jay Farrow, who's an African-American comedian, hilarious guy, but he walks with a mic and he goes, attention to teachers and students. And it's this really, Tanner thought it was a little too, like, we can't do those accents. We can't do that. And I'm like, watch
for
us.
For you.
Yeah, watch us. Watch us be that way. So maybe we'll do it tomorrow. Anyway, we're going to do that tomorrow. I want to thank you guys for tuning in tonight. I want to thank Lindsay and Jesse for being on the show and for Shelby and the Peanut Gallery. And we'll be back tomorrow. And then Nerd Up's off on Monday. We might do, right? You guys are doing it bi-weekly now, right?
Yeah, it's every other week now.
Okay, so we might do another I Want to Believe. Who knows? You never know what's going to happen here on the Pods of the 1985 Network, but you can be guaranteed one thing. It'll always be free, because it's not good enough to ask for money unless you want to voluntarily give us money. We always accept that at patreon.com/podzilla1985. I need to get some new clothes. Anyway, that'll do it for us tonight. We'll see you tomorrow on Friday. Until then, the balcony is closed. Later.